Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, a weekly podcast that gives you an in-depth look at the South Alabama Jaguars. You can find a new podcast uploaded weekly online at usajaguars.com or take the podcast with you on your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Just search South Alabama Jaguars.
Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, the weekly podcast of the University of South Alabama Department of Athletics. I'm Associate Athletic Director for Strategic Communications, Brian Freeman, and we are visiting for this week's episode with junior member of the women's track and field program, Michaela Prechuk. Michaela, appreciate your taking the time with us.
Thank you.
One of the reasons I asked you to come this week is you started the week at Sunbelt Championships and ended up being the conference champion in the hammer throw. And hammers outdoors and the weight throw. Not only that, but set a school record in the process. Now that you're kind of a few days removed from it, have you had time to reflect on it and think about your performance and what you did on Monday?
Yeah, I never expected to break the school record in this event. I was hoping for hammer throw, which I guess we'll see it in the outdoor season, but for me, weight throw was always like, you did it because it's indoor track. It was never something that I really liked, but this year I think I finally just figured out what form works best for me and how to do it correctly, and here we are.
You know, and it's not just great that you did that, but it was 10 points, and you ended up second in the team standings, which is as high as I've seen on record since 2000.
And we had two other girls scoring, too,
so,
which is also really great, having three girls in the final.
Yeah. So you didn't expect to break the school record, fair, but what were your expectations going into the meet? What did you think and hope would happen Monday when the competition started?
Well, in the last 2 years at Indoor Conference, I've never made finals. I used to do hurdles, too, so I had never made finals in either event. So I came in thinking, I want to make finals, and if I can just throw my best, we'll see how that takes me. And then after the first throw, I think I was in second place. And so it was like, okay, maybe I can pull this thing off.
Yeah. And that was my next question, because it was, yeah, you get three throws and then the top eight keep going with three more. And you were second, so you have one opponent in front of you. And like, what was your approach to those final three throws? Was it like, that mark's good enough that I'm going to medal and let it go? Or how did you go into those last three throws?
Well, I try to keep all my throws consistent no matter what. I think a lot of people go into throws and they think, oh, I really need to get this big throw. So they almost try a little too hard, or it ends up kind of messing them up. And so for me, I knew exactly what I needed to fix. And I said, just slow down and do it. Because a lot of times I think when I get too excited, I throw too fast, and then I get kind of thrown off. But it's funny, as fast as the event is, I actually need to start out slower. So I think I tried to just stay calm and do exactly what I've been practicing. And it paid off, because I was able to, like my coach had said, kind of two cues. And in all my throws, I was either doing one thing or the other, not both of them. And so in that fifth throw, which is the one that I PR'd with, I managed to put them together, and it paid off.
I was going to ask, because, like, you know, for an athlete in the moment, like, when you let go of that fifth throw, did you know it was going to be that good?
Well, when we're in the crossplex, there's, I think, four or five lines that are marked on the ground. And so you can kind of tell where it lands. In hammer, you can't always tell because it's pretty far away and it's in the grass. But right when I release, I usually look down. Like, I guess that's just how I, like, release it. But then I looked and saw it land. And in the video, if you watch, I actually kind of say, like, yes. So, yeah, I was pretty excited about it. I knew it was big, but I didn't know it was that big. So I was just happy to have a good throw. And you can always tell, any thrower will say the same thing, you can always tell when it's a good one.
You know, with, you were already if I looked at it right, you'd already improved your personal best earlier this season. So you know you're in your junior year, you're making progress, you see how that's going, and then you have the big moment at the conference championship. Mm-hmm. Does that change your approach and your mentality to this outdoor season that's only a week away?
I definitely am a lot more excited for it. I knew I was really looking forward to outdoor because, especially with Hammer, it's hard because, you know, you train all fall and you get back second semester and you still have to wait another month. And so that's, I think, where my old mentality of weight throw was. It was like, oh, okay, well, I just have this meet this weekend. But I started the season with a PR and I managed to win the first meet of the year, which I had never made finals in weight throw before this year. So I think after that first meet at Vanderbilt, I was like, all right, I guess this is how this year's going to go. But I'm definitely excited for this next week. I think as long as, like I said, if I can keep things consistent and just throw and feel good, I don't think I need to do incredible next week. But if I can just do good, I'll be happy.
Yeah. I mean, it's a long season. Yeah. Your first regular season meets opening weekend of March. Sunbelt Championships is until the middle of May, and then if you're really fortunate and have a good year, it's late May for regional and early June for the national meet. So it is a long, long season.
Yeah.
I didn't have it written down, but there was something that you just said that struck me as like, you hadn't made the finals in indoor in the weight throw before, and so have you done something different, or is this just a result of the process of lots of practices and maturity and time in the weight room? You know, what do you attribute the improvement to?
I think there's probably three things I can think of off the top of my head. One, I think technique. I've been, like I said, I've trying to keep things very consistent. And in the fall, I remember there was one day, typically we only do 6 to 8 weight throws a day. It's just really, especially because it's not like a full year event, it's just, and it's really hard on your body. So we only take about 6 to 8 throws every practice. But I remember there was one day specifically where I was throwing weight and I think I thought to myself, like, why don't you just, like, sit back a little bit? Like, I really just thought through the technique, and I remember having this kind of breakthrough day in the middle of November, and I was like, well, why can't I do this every time? So I really tried to, like I said, I tried to keep everything consistent. Two, I have been hurdling since 7th grade, and this year I decided just to throw. So, and that was hard because I think, not necessarily because I was, like, that great at hurdling, but it was just hard because, like, that was, like, a really big part of my identity was, like, I'm a hurdler. And so this year, to put that aside and say, I think I can do better just as a thrower than I can as a hurdler and a thrower. So, and it's definitely paid off. I'm doing a lot better in the weight room as well. And then three, I've been really working on nutrition. I have my own apartment now. I can cook my own food. Everyone kind of makes fun of me because I always bring, like, bags of baby carrots and bell peppers and vegetables to the track meet. So, like, I think my nutrition actually paid off a lot. And my mom and dad will say the same thing because my mom has always been she eats really healthy. So yeah. She's definitely proud of me for that. So I'd say those three things together definitely helped me get a lot better at weight throw.
I have it. It is next on my list. Could you have pictured this moment on Monday when you came to South Alabama as a freshman for the fall semester, which would have been fall of 15, because you were originally on the roster as a multi-event slash hurdler?
Yep.
Nothing to do with throws. Mm-hmm. So what, you know, like, what's it like to know all that's changed? There's no reason why you'd picture you'd be a weight throw champion yeah. 2 years later, 2.5 years later.
Yeah, I think a lot before I came to South, I had a lot of anxiety because I'm from Minnesota. I was moving across the country, starting over with a new team. I really loved high school track. So like for me, it was, I was very scared, and I remember my very first day, I didn't know anyone on the team, and we had this kind of preseason test, so it wasn't really anything difficult, but we got rained out, so, or like lightning, like we had to stop, we had to cut the practice short, and so he sent all the freshmen inside to wait for, I think we had like a weight room orientation that day, he sent all the freshmen inside, but he goes, "Preach up, come here." And I'm like, you know, and also, you know, first day, I'm just kind of like, you know, nervous, all this stuff. It is probably like 95 and humid. I'm used to like 70 and dry. So I'm just like sweating and dirty and like about to cry. And he's like, I think you can throw hammer. I want to teach you hammer. So we're in this garage, our like track room garage, and he gives me, I think, a 2K hammer, like a really small hammer. And he's trying to teach me how to turn in this like garage. And also I remember the culture in the South is a lot different than in the Midwest, and so people kind of expect you to say like sir and, you know, no sir, no ma'am. So he would say something and I'd be like, all right, and I could tell he was just looking at me. I'd be like, yep, sir, sorry. And so I was just like really shakily like trying to learn how to turn and wind, and I just thought that was so crazy, and now it's just something I do every single day and don't think about. And I'm glad that multis didn't work out because I was really not good at it. And like it was almost embarrassing. I was so bad at it. Coach James will tell you all the stories about it. We did an inter squad meet and I didn't know how to long jump. And I was on the runway about to jump at this mock meet. And I just yelled, "Coach, I don't know what I'm doing." And he's like, "Just jump." And I jumped 3 meters, 9 feet, because I didn't know how to land. So I just kind of like, I don't know. It was more like a high jump than a long jump. Just kind of stuck the landing in the sand. And they wouldn't let me turn sideways for javelin. 13-meter throw. That's like a standing throw for your typical javelin thrower. So, you know, in retrospect, I'm really glad that I trained as a multi, because I think it taught me a lot about track, and also taught me a lot about working hard. I was in a new environment doing things I never thought I'd do, and you know, here I am now, but I'm glad I still had that experience, as hard as it was.
Yeah, well, you came in and you were good enough to make the roster and go to the conference meet both indoor and outdoor, and actually by the end of that freshman year you finish third, which gets you all conference honors in the hammer throw at the outdoor meet. And you remember, like, what was your reaction? What were you thinking, knowing that you had just picked it up at the start of the school year to be able to get... That's a long way in a short period of time.
Yeah. It was a big I told you so, because at the beginning of the year, my coach didn't think I could throw more than 50 meters. And at the very first meet, I threw 54 meters. So I literally was like, "Coach, I told you so." And so at the end of the year, too, it was like a big full circle moment. And that, you know, moving away, trying something new was all worth it. And I think it also was kind of like, okay, maybe I'm more than just a hurdler. Maybe I don't have to just do this one event. Because when I was little, I was like, I want to go to the Olympics and hurdles and blah, blah, blah. And then in high school, it was kind of like, well, it's a, you know, you can go to college. I didn't think I'd go past college.
Yeah.
And especially my first few meets as a hurdler, it was tough because it's like all these girls, some of these people, I'll have like the best race of my life, and there's someone just running half a second faster than you in the next lane. And so you just, and I think a lot of college runners experience that too, because in high school, you can be like, you know, best in your school, best in the state. And then you come to college and it's like, all right, well, you're just another hurdler.
Yeah.
So it was great to have that success. And I know not every freshman goes to conference too. So again, that was a big, like, it just, I was really proud of myself.
And I think in fairness, I mean, like, in the hurdles, Berta would have been on the team at that point, and she's an all-conference hurdler, and there might have been a little bit of a reality check.
And Latasha smoked me every week at practice. I almost wanted to practice alone sometimes, because I'm like, I'm not doing bad, but I feel like I'm doing really bad.
It made it look worse when you're that far behind.
They're amazing athletes. I miss them.
So That wasn't the end of your season, though, because mm-hmm. you ended up going and competing at the USA Junior mm-hmm. Outdoor Championship in California. What was that experience like? And, I mean, it's not, it's a national meet, but it, you know, so it's along the lines of those are the things you do to get to international. Yeah. If you can get that far, what's the experience like?
Well, I came into that meet thinking I want to compete and not, like, try to win. I want to just compete and have fun. Because I think in high school, everything I did was very, like, I want to win state. I want to do this. I want to do that. And so I remember thinking to myself, hold it. You are going to California. This is going to be, like, no matter what you do, this is super cool. Because juniors, I think, is under 20. And so, but most high schools, I think every state except for, like, somewhere on the east side, like, hammer throw isn't in high school. There was only, like, 13 or 14 girls that qualified because most of these girls pick it up in college. So it's me and all these people that, like, again, just started throwing. And so, yeah, I came in with a very, like, just relax, just throw, have fun. My parents were both there. It was great because, obviously, like, I hadn't seen, you know, I have a hard time. It was really hard for me to move from Minnesota to here. And it's a lot better now, but... And so I came into that meet thinking, like, okay, just enjoy yourself. And I ended up making finals. So I'm like, all right, sweet. And I fouled, like, three throws in a row. I think it was throw two, three, and four I fouled. And in that moment, then I got competitive because I was like, I did not come all the way here to foul all my throws. Really? Like, really? And I had this weird, like, routine I did before the throw. I don't, you know. And then I was like, just throw. Just do it. So I did it. And it was like this miracle throw. And it's funny because I ended up placing fifth, but I think I was the most excited. Because all these girls that were the top four were like either super competitive. Like one girl came in thinking she was going to win and she got third type of thing. And I was, when I threw that major PR, I was like, yeah, yeah. Like, you know, if you couldn't tell by now, I kind of freak out when I have like really good throws. If you watch any of the conference videos, it's just me kind of screaming the whole time. But I was just like, oh my gosh, 58. And my parents are like freaking out. So like that was honestly one of the most fun track meets I've ever been to. And it was cool to know that I qualified for Worlds. I wasn't able to go because only the top two can go. We realized after Juniors was over, like the actual international competition, that yeah. I probably could have gone with Team Canada because my parents are Canadian. So we're like, oh, okay. Like, why didn't we think of that? But in hindsight, I think even just that USA meet was super cool.
Yeah, was there anything that you found that you took from that experience that you've applied since last year and this year?
Definitely just to relax and just enjoy things more. I think a lot of times I can stress myself out a lot. And so I think when I go into meets just thinking like, hey, this is track. Only, this is college track. Only, you know, a small percentage of people that do track in high school get to even compete collegiately at all, let alone travel and do well at the D1 level. So I definitely think that meet taught me how to just relax and just be me.
So we talked about it, you know, you coach pulls you aside to teach you the basics of how to throw and implement. But now, as you've gotten into it and gotten a routine for our listeners, you know, describe what practice is. How long are you out there? How many times do you throw? Mm-hmm. How do you monitor it? Like, how do you know when something's bad and how to fix mm-hmm. it?
Well, our typical practices are, I'd say, anywhere from 1 to about 2.5 hours. Theoretically, the less people that are at practice, the better, because there's only one ring, right? You have to take turns. So, but typically our practices are 6 or 7 people, and you'll have one person start on shot put, if they do shot put, one person start on discus, one person start on hammer. So we're all kind of spread out. So no one, you know, it's not like 5 people trying to throw out at the same ring. Coach will give us our workout for the day. It's usually anywhere from 18 to 25 throws a day, and it'll be different weights, different types of throws, like drills. He always has just turns as one of our drills, like not even throwing it, just literally just turning in a circle.
Yeah.
And from there, a lot of it, like, he's there and he'll tell you what you did wrong. But most of us know enough of it by now that we, you know, we don't need, like, step-by-step instruction for everything. So, you know, we'll do something, he'll point out what we did wrong, and then we'll try again. So we do about usually two throws, retrieve. And so how long it takes usually depends on how many people are there. And typically, like, you can tell if it's a good or bad throw if, well, obviously if it goes far. If it goes out of the sector, you can usually tell what's wrong because you're either probably you're stepping too short or too long. And it's just messing up your turn. And usually Brewski will point that out too before we even see it, before it even lands sometimes. And then there's usually some conditioning afterwards. We lift weights, I think, 3 times a week. And aside from that, and then we compete on usually a Friday or Saturday. So if I think we changed our lifting to Monday, Tuesday, Thursday instead of Monday, Wednesday, Friday because we compete on Friday a lot.
Yeah.
So that we're, no matter what, we are in the weight room 3 times a week.
What about the day of a meet? You have a routine? What do you do to prepare before you go on the ring?
Mm-hmm. Well, I need caffeine every day, no matter if it's a meet or not. So usually there's some coffee involved, but aside from that, I try to sleep really well the night before. Okay, so if the meet's on Friday, I try to sleep really well on Wednesday night. Because I don't know why, but I always feel better from, like, the previous night's sleep. Like, sometimes I'll get, I don't really sleep that well. Brewski knows when I don't sleep. But, yeah. So I try to sleep really well 2 nights before. And, like, it is what it is. When I get to the meet, I listen to music. Lately, I've been listening to a lot of Knocked Loose before my meets, which, I mean, I don't think a lot of people that are listening would like it, but whatever, I like it, so. And then I typically warm up. I do a longer warm up because I like to be really stretched out. I do a lot of, like, I do our typical track drills. I do a lot of squat jumps. I do a fair amount of sprinting too. I think I just like to be really warm. Some people don't like to warm up as much, which I understand. But, and I'm very mobile, so I kind of have to, like, stretch no matter what I do. And then I typically don't like to, like, when the actual competition's going on, I like to watch, but at the same time, I don't like to be right there. So if there's a lot of people, like, standing waiting to throw, I, like, will stand in the back. Last year, I brought a coloring book to the meet. I'm dead serious. Like, I would color in between my throws because I was so stressed out about one of them. But I typically just like to step back. I don't like to listen to other people's, scores. And obviously, I'll watch my teammates, but aside from that, I like to just stay out. I think people forget that even though you're competing against other people, you're really only competing against yourself because you can't control what anyone else is doing.
Yeah.
And it's like everyone has a turn. So I like to think, like, it's my turn and then it's time to just not focus on anyone else.
Guest this week on Inside Jag Nation is junior from the Jaguar Women's Track and Field Program, Michaela Prechuk, Sunbelt Conference champion Monday in the weight throw at the indoor championship meet. Parents are Canadian, but you're...
I was born in Minnesota.
In Lakeville, raised in Lakeville, Minnesota. How old were you when you started competing in track? And you remember why you got involved in the sport?
Well, I think the two biggest reasons why I decided to do track was, one, my dad was a sprinter growing up, and he used to always tell me about all his, like, big races and his big stories. And then, two, I watched the 2008 Olympics where Lolo Jones fell over a hurdle and Usain Bolt had his first, like, really big he won the 100, the 2, and the 4x1. Like, that huge, crazy, broke all these world records. And I remember watching it, and I was so sad for Lolo Jones because she was, like, my hero. And I was like, no, she fell over a hurdle. And my parents remember this too. I was so, like, excited by the Olympics. I went outside and took cones and hockey and lacrosse sticks, and I set up little hurdles in my backyard, and I'm, like, 10 years old. And, I probably was younger than that, but basically, I set up mini hurdles with, like, lacrosse and hockey sticks, and I, like, did the hurdles in my backyard. And so then I was like, Mom, I want to do track and field. I'm going to be the best sprinter in the world. I'm going to win the Olympics in the 100 meter dash. And, like, that's funny, right? So, yeah. And I think that really, that's what put the passion inside me. And ever since then, I've just, track has always been there for me. I think I started in seventh grade that year.
Were there any other sports you were playing as a kid growing up, you know, beforehand? I mean, you mentioned you had the equipment there for some others.
Well, my little brother, AJ, plays hockey and lacrosse. But I grew up doing dance, cheerleading, and tumbling. So I never did, like, gymnastics in the sense of, like, bars and all that mm-hmm. stuff. But I did tumbling almost my whole life. I was a competition cheerleader from seventh grade to my junior year of high school. I did 2 years on a high school team and then 4 years on a all-star team, which is, like, competitive cheerleading. It's like we have that here. They go to, I think, NCAA Nationals or UCA Nationals.
Right.
I miss it every day. I always talk about it.
Now, you at Lakeville North, mm-hmm. you actually made the varsity team as an eighth grader, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah.
What was it like to be competing at that level and not even in high school yet in classes?
My first ever track meet at Lakeville North High School. I will never forget this because my coach, Todd Endersby, he posted the list of who was going to the JV meet and the varsity meet. And it was like the first indoor meet. It was in Wisconsin, I think, at University of River Falls. And I look on the JV meet and I couldn't find my name. So I'm like, Coach, I think you forgot to enter me. And he goes, no, look at the varsity roster. And I'm signed up for high jump, triple jump, and the 60-meter hurdles. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, like, I'm so scared, all this stuff. And I get to the meet. The field events were nothing special. Like, I don't, like, that's not even really talking about. It was so bad. But then the hurdles, you know, I did 1 year of middle school track before that. So, like, you know, I've done hurdles, but never, yeah. like, that competitively. And I warm up, I'm like super nervous, I'm freaking out, and I get into the blocks and they say set, and the girl next to me like false starts so bad, like completely jumps out early, and I saw it out of the corner of my eye. So when the gun went off, I just stood up and walked, like, if they wouldn't have called that as a false start, I would have just embarrassed myself. But I just remember being like, and like shaking. And so that girl next to me goes, am I disqualified? And the refs are like, yup. And she just walks off, and I'm like, don't false start, just go, and the gun goes off. But anyway, so then the gun does go off the second time, and I win the heat. And I'm just like, what is going on? Like, did this just happen? And I think I got, there was a final at that meet too, and I got second overall. And I think that's when I realized I could be competitive at hurdles. So I will never forget that meet though.
So you're in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. You know you want to compete in college, so there in high school you start hearing from college coaches. You remember your, you know, when did you first hear from Coach Brewski, and what was your reaction that you just got contacted by South Alabama?
Well, when we were delivered recruit letters, they delivered them to our homeroom, and then we got them from our homeroom teacher, so a lot of times when she'd call out my name, say, hey, Michaela, you have a letter, you know, I'd go up, and obviously everyone in the class, like, notices, and some people made a big deal about it, but I was like, just because you get a letter doesn't really mean anything, right? Like, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get a scholarship or anything like that, and most of them were from, like, D3 schools anyways, and I filled out the South Alabama one. I sent it in. All I remember is I sent a lot of those questionnaires to colleges, but didn't get a lot of info back. And, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, South contacted me, and I went on a tour, and I liked it. So, here I am.
Were there any other schools that seriously recruited you? And ultimately, what led you to choose South over them?
University of Minnesota did as well. And that was the only other one that I was really considering going to. And I liked South because I felt like Coach Brewski was already invested in me, and even though I wasn't even there yet. And I think he made, even though the recruit visit was kind of a mess for me personally, I got food poisoning and, like, threw up in the track building bathroom. Like, it was, and actually Brewski didn't know until last year. But yeah, it was a mess. But I still felt like they actually wanted me there. And, you know, it at the time, I think I was really scared to move across the country, but I was like, hey, if I hate it, transfer somewhere else. Like, I didn't want it to, like, stop me just because I was scared of moving away. So I'm glad I did, though. I really like it here.
What did you find, where, you know, once you got down, except for the, okay, you're moving away from family for the first time, and it's not an easy trip, mm-hmm. but, like, did you have to make any serious adjustments to go from living in Minnesota to living on the Gulf?
I needed bigger t-shirts because it's, like, 3,000 degrees here and humid all the time. I think the humidity was the hardest to adjust to, but, I mean, I lived on campus, so it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like I needed, how do I explain this? I guess the only adjustment I really had to make was to the weather and practicing in the weather. So, and like walking to class was like, that was a big wake up call. Like, you know, everyone has to adjust to walking to class in college, but walking to class in the humidity was just like a whole nother ballgame for me.
You're going into your junior outdoor season, and then, you know, obviously the hopes continue, do well senior year. Have you mm-hmm. thought now, I mean, yeah, okay, when you watched on TV, I'm going to be in the Olympics, but now that you've seen how you've developed over the last 2+ years, excuse me, have you thought about the ability to compete beyond the collegiate level?
I think it'd be great to do that for track. I know for a fact I want to go into Olympic weightlifting after track is over. So, like, competitively Olympic weightlifting. I think if I was given the chance to compete post-collegiately, I'd definitely take it. It's not, like, my ultimate goal right now. Mm-hmm. I just want to do well in college. And if I have a great college career and there's nothing for me after that, then I'll say, hey, I had a great college career. So.
As an exercise science major, once competition's over, track, weightlifting, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, what's your interest? What do you want to do for, like, a professional career?
I want to be a strength coach. Probably, I like working with kids. I currently coach gymnastics and conditioning back home, but I want to be probably a high school strength coach or, like, a sport-specific coach for elite young athletes. And... yeah, I started working at this gymnastics gym, Tags Gymnastics, my senior year of high school, and I just fell in love with it. I love coaching. I love when kids get skills for the first time. And so it was hard for me to decide what to do in college, but when I started working at that gymnastics gym, I was like, this is exactly what I want to do.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I wanted to be like a business major. Like, I can't even like put on jeans every day. Like, that's not realistic. But, like, strength coach, it definitely fits me well.
I mean, it way, way in advance to having to actually make this decision, but I always like to ask. I mean, born and raised in the Midwest, now you've got this experience here in the Gulf South. And do you have a preference of going home, staying here? Do you want to explore? Do you want to move somewhere else as you pursue job opportunities? Or are you, and some folks are like this, it's just like, I'll take whatever job gets me in the field, mm-hmm. wherever it is. What's your thoughts on where you might want to end up down the road?
I definitely want to move back to the Midwest. I think, well, it's not just that, like, obviously, like, I'm far away from home, but... Also, my brother lives in Nebraska, and all of my extended family lives in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. So, like, I'm not just far away from home. I'm far away from home when I'm already far away from home, I guess, if that makes sense. So I would love to be closer to family. And there, I know that weightlifting is becoming a lot bigger in Minnesota, at least in the high school setting. There's a competitive Olympic weightlifting program across the state now, and I think there's a lot of opportunities back home. Not that there aren't any here, but I think I definitely want to do it back home.
Guest this week on Inside Jag Nation, Michaela Prechuk from the Jaguar Women's Track and Field Team. We appreciate the time and know you have places to go and things to do. But before we let you go, I want to ask some questions here for our listeners to get a chance to know you better outside of track. And just the first thing that pops into your mind, and the first question I always ask is with your schedule, travel, competition, practice, class, study hall, not a lot of free time. So when you have a few moments to yourself, what's your favorite thing to do?
I really like to listen to music. If I am given the opportunity to, like if I don't have class or practice or whatever, I love going to concerts. There's also not a lot in this area that I really enjoy. So a lot of times I'll go to Pensacola or New Orleans for them. I like hanging out with friends. When I'm back home, I love being with my dogs. I take them on walks all the time. They're just like my little angels. I like to read, draw, paint. I haven't really had time to draw or paint lately, but I still like to do it.
What's your favorite sport outside of track?
All-star cheerleading.
What's the best athletic event you've ever attended as a fan?
Oh, I got to go to the CrossFit Games this summer as a fan, and it was, like, think what you want about CrossFit. That was so cool. It was, like, I was on my feet the entire time. I had my little Canadian flag. I actually met she just got second at Worlds, Maddie Rogers, the Olympic weightlifter. And I was just, like, fangirling so hard. I was like, oh my gosh, Maddie Rogers. So, and she signed my Canadian flag, and it was just one of the coolest things I've ever been to.
If there is one athletic event you want to go to, never have been, what's at the top of your list?
Like, as a spectator?
Yes.
Probably something like, I've been watching the Winter Olympics. I've always really liked bobsled. I would love to see one of those events. And, yeah, bobsled, loose skeleton, just watching them, like, fly by. I always joke that I'm going to pick up bobsledding after college. Hey, maybe that's another realistic thing for me, to be honest, because, like, I'm definitely strong enough to do it. And, like, the first start is just, like, a sprint race, so,
yeah,
you know, wear a helmet, I'll be fine.
If you're going on a vacation, dream spot, one place, where are you picking?
Ooh. Probably Cape Town, South Africa. A bunch of my friends on the team are from South Africa, and either they're hyping it up or it's actually amazing, but I would love to visit there, and it just looks so beautiful.
What's your favorite movie?
Napoleon Dynamite.
Favorite book?
I think I am tied between like two or three books. I really love the book Go Ask Alice. Super sad. I think I just really like sad books, to be honest. Looking for Alaska by John Green. I'm in the middle of this book right now called Girl Interrupted, and I'm just, like, shook to the core. It's so good.
Favorite musical artist?
I always say, like, oh, this is my favorite album. Like, anyone that knows me, like, I have, like, 30,000 favorites. If I had to say my top three favorite musical artists ever, Yellow Card, My Chemical Romance, and Seosin. Right now, I've been listening to a lot of Knocked Loose, Cain Hill, and I was listening to Dance Gavin Dance last night a lot, so yeah, that's six, not one, but I like music a lot, so that's a whole nother conversation for another day.
And down the line, when your competitive career is over and Hollywood producer says, this, wow, I mean, you know, girl moves from home, picks up an event she's never done, has success, you know, finds it an interesting story and decides going to get a script to make a movie. What actress will he hire to play the lead role in the story of Michaela Preechuck?
That's a great question. If I'm being realistic, I don't know her name. The girl that played Wonder Woman would be a great choice.
Gadot?
Yeah, Gal Gadot, I think. Yeah. Oh, geez. I don't watch a lot of movies, and I don't know a lot of actresses.
But you answered the question, so I can give you credit for that.
What's that girl from Saturday Night Live that was, I don't remember what her name is. I don't know, any of the Saturday Night Live actors, because I just think they're amazing. Or Gal Gadot.
Our guest this week, Inside Yag Nation, Michaela Preechuck. Congratulations on this week, and best of luck throughout the outdoor season and beyond. Appreciate the time.
Inside Yag Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Any rebroadcast or distribution of this podcast without the express written consent of South Alabama Athletics is strictly prohibited. Remember, you can find a new episode of Inside Jag Nation every week on USAJaguars.com or have them automatically uploaded to your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Keep up to date with the Jags by following us on Twitter with @USAJaguarSports and @JagNationUSA. Thanks for listening, and go Jags!